Just put a hand on your heart. Jesus, we give you permission tonight to mess us up. Holy Spirit, that you would breathe on our time tonight, that it literally would change everything. And I God, so I just decree a spirit of revelation and a spirit of wisdom over people, that they would be they would come into to understand and to see clearly, Jesus, who you are in the midst of their world, and they'd be changed by that. And then Lord, I'm asking that you would give them wisdom so that they could take action and change the world around them. I pray these things right now. So I had a week where I didn't get much sleep. Now, we have a brand new baby, and so there's some excuse there for not getting much sleep. Anybody have a newborn right now? There's a couple of us, yes. So you understand, you know exactly what I'm going through. We have a newborn at home, and so, you know, she wakes up in the middle of the night and interrupts sleep, and, you know, and so I'm going through that process right now. She's only a month old, but this last week was different for me. So I, if you don't know my story, I had a broken back, major back injuries starting when I was 15 years old, and then had several incidents happen all the way through my 20s. And repetitive injuries until finally my back actually fractured and I started to lose my right leg, function in my right leg. And so they had to do emergency surgery. This was in 2007. And in the midst of that surgery, they had to fuse it and fuse my lower back. And it was sort of a miracle situation where I could have been paralyzed very easily, but, you know, the Lord's intervention and modern medicine, praise God. And so I have, from 2007 until present, following 2007, I had three back surgeries in total. The first fusion, they had a major incident happen with the hardware that they put in, and so they had to go back in and they do a second fusion, and then a third to repair stuff that happened. So it was not a great situation, right? Well, to bring you up to speed, I can't remember a day since I was 15 that I haven't had back pain. I just have lived with it. I don't know if any of you have had repetitive injury or chronic pain in anything, but that's been my story. Well, this week, I had a couple days where I'm going to sleep at night and I couldn't sleep because just straight up in pain all night. And it took me to the edge of my emotional state. Was in physical pain, was in emotional pain, and was in that place where you're just fatigued beyond fatigued, okay? You know, brand new baby, month of not sleeping into this, right? So I'm in that situation. And I know when pain or when an experience that is causing you stress, where if you stay in it long enough, you know, it will begin to feel like the walls are coming in on you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you're alive, right? So, and you've lived long enough, obviously. If you've never experienced anything like that, God bless you. I'm so glad for you. If you have, though, you identify exactly with what I'm talking about right now. And I'm laying in bed, and I am in this place where I can feel the, like my sense of well-being has hit its limit. And so I know that when I get to that kind of a place, the only answer is to cry out to the Lord. It's the only answer. I don't have another answer. And so I begin to seek the Lord like I always do, and I come into his presence, and his peace comes over my heart, and it relieves the anxiety. It relieves the sort of It transitioned from physical pain into, you know, you can kind of tell that there's some spiritual stuff going on as well. And like, just pressure. And as soon as I came into the Lord's presence, that's gone. Whew, it's gone. You know, spiritual warfare at its best. Come into his presence, boom, done. And so I experience that. And then I go and I lay down, I fall asleep, fast asleep. It's wonderful. And then 4:44 a.m. happens. Now, if you've been at the house for very long, you know, like, that's like the magic hour. Every time the Lord wants to speak to me, he wakes me up at 4:44 a.m. And it's my fault because I prayed for that to happen. I wanted to know, because have you ever been halfway through, like you're in sleep and you kind of feel like God's talking to you, but you're not sure, or you wake up and then you're like wondering, was that you, Lord? Or was, when you're seeking, when you're running after God, you're seeking after his voice, like any time that that happens, you become alert to it. You're looking for it. God, are you speaking to me? Well, I didn't want to have any doubt anymore. You know, I wake up at 6 a.m. or I wake up at 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. or whenever, and I didn't want to ask the question, God, is that you? So I just prayed, Lord, if you want to speak to me, 4:44, I will know it's you, I will get out of bed. And like clockwork, anytime that I'm not paying attention to his voice, evidently clear enough during the day hours, and he has something to say, 4:44 a.m. Well, that was this night, okay? I had sought him. I came into his presence. Boom, deliverance. And then I go to sleep, and 4:44 a.m., I wake up alert, and I hear the Lord's voice. And he says, son, Psalms 118, Psalms 118. So I grab my phone. I'm laying in bed. It's dark. I flip over my Bible app. I look up Psalms 118, and I begin to read it. And as soon as I begin to read it, the presence of the Lord just washes over me, and I can feel the affliction that had been on my body before be relieved. I can feel a change, like something shifted, like God, through his word, brought healing into my body. And so tonight, I felt like I'm supposed to read a couple of the passages to you. We're supposed to talk about it a little bit, but I feel like tonight is more, it's more prophetic than it is expository. I'm gonna bring some declarations over you, and for some, this is gonna hit. Like, it's gonna hit hard. It's gonna touch your life. God's gonna be there. For others, it might not be. It's okay. This is kind of the flow of the prophetic. Sometimes it's for you, sometimes it's not. But for all of us, I'm inviting you to come into a state of prayer, because I know that God's going to touch lives tonight. So if it's not for you, chances are it was for somebody else, and you just be happy for them then, okay? Okay. Psalms 118. If you got a Bible, feel free to open up to there. Psalms 118. Incidentally, Psalms 118 is the middle chapter in the entire Bible. Split the Bible in half, there it is, Psalms 118. It was also, are you familiar with Martin Luther? Not Martin Luther King, Jr., but Martin Luther, the one who brought the Reformation, Lutheran denomination. Martin Luther, Psalms 118 was his favorite passage of Scripture. And the reason was because whenever people could not bring him comfort, whenever authority figures could not speak into his situation because he was going through a unique situation, and whenever family members or people that were around him as a support system had nothing to offer him, Psalms 118 was always the place that he would go, and God would bring deliverance and healing and strength to him by Psalms 118. So a little plug. If you need some strength, this is a good one. This is Psalms 118, starting in verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I'm not going to get through it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You know, that word loving kindness, it means goodness, it means merciful, it means faithful. It carries all those kind of meanings to it. It's God's intention of good towards you. And it says that his loving kindness is everlasting. The word everlasting means from eternity, from the past. From the beginning of all things, God predetermined that he would demonstrate and cause you to experience in your lifetime his loving kindness. It is like he fixed the future to be goodness and glory demonstrated on your life. And then no matter what you're going through, your ultimate destiny is goodness and glory. And it is like a tractor beam, like a science fiction alien invasion grabs a hold of you and is sucking you towards it. God's loving kindness has grabbed a hold of your life, will not let go, will not relent. He determined it from eternity before you ever took a breath. He already determined that this is going to turn for good no matter what you go through. It's sucking you towards it. The gravitational pull of his goodness you cannot get out of. You cannot move to the left. You can't move to the right. You can't run away from it. You can't do the worst thing or the best thing and move to the left or right in any fashion. You're stuck. So that's a good reason to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good. I can't tell you how needed. It sounds like the simplest of doctrines. It just sounds so simple. But how absolutely life-transforming and powerful it is to just come to the realization that God is good and that every intention towards you is leading to you experiencing that goodness. No shifting of shadow. There is no such thing as a different kind of experience in God. His loving kindness is fixed on you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. When Jesus redeemed you, he fully redeemed you. He set you in heavenly places, your spiritual position, in heavenly places, with him, in Christ. You have become the righteousness of God. You are forever determined in eternity, forever. You are holy. You are set apart. You are beloved. You are the object of his affection. He has absolutely determined from eternity that you can't get out of this because he loves you so much. When it's 2 a.m. and you're laying on your bed in pain and you can't get out of it and you can't do anything and all you can do is have to choose to believe. From that place, I can tell you that there is an opportunity to enter in. Now, your deal might not be pain, okay, physical pain or otherwise, but emotional conflict, stress, things that life throws at you causes affliction to our souls. And God has determined from the beginning that this will all end in goodness. Say this over yourself right now. God's good. And I trust him. His loving kindness is from eternity. It will never change. I belong to him, and he is good. Keep reading down. Skip on down to verse 6 there. It says this: the Lord is for me. I will not fear. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me. Okay. God is so incredibly big. I've spoken on this. I keep repeating it week after week. But God's not contained within the universe. God's outside of it. God's bigger than it. The universe is in his hands. This is not... He's singing down the pipe of the universe, and it's continuing to expand with the sound of his voice. And he's singing over the affection that he has towards the people that live on this earth. This This God of ours is so incredible. He is so big. He is so far beyond anything you can possibly imagine. When God speaks, heavens itself tremble and shake before him. Nothing can contain the type of glory that rests on him. The weighty presence of who he is. You cannot imagine it. You can't. Far beyond every expectation, far beyond every imagination. That's who your God is. Okay? Anybody in here ever watch pro wrestling? Okay, when I was growing up, I used to watch WWF, and there was a guy named Andre the Giant. Anybody remember Andre the Giant? Okay, this is what I want you to imagine, okay? You know, in WWF, they would always have like some poor guy that nobody knew, you know, come in and wrestle the superstar, right? And it was always just some, you know, like scrappy guy, but you knew that as soon as you saw Joe Guy coming through those doors to enter that ring, that he was a goner. Like, he signed up and is getting paid to have his body destroyed by whoever else is coming through, right? And then so Joe Guy comes in and enters the ring and everyone's kind of booing him, and then all of a sudden the music kicks in, you know, and the stadium lights go low, and then the announcer comes on, right? And it's Andre the Giant walking in, 7'4", weighed 590 pounds. And, you know, here's this poor guy, 180 pounds, 5'6", you know, he's muscular and all that, but he's going to get his rear end handed to him. Okay, when it says God's for you, it's like a tag team match, and there's two Joe guys in the ring, and it's you and Andre the Giant. Okay, God has your back. God's in your corner. Okay, you have an undefeatable, like, partner in this. God is for you. What in the world can anybody ever do against you? You have Andre the Giant in the corner. Listen, it might be tough for you to grapple around, but all you have to do is what? Tag out. And as soon as you tag, what happens? It's over. You should have no fear when you enter the ring of life because God's in your corner. Don't be afraid of what you're facing. Listen, it doesn't matter what you're facing. There may be some in here tonight who have a diagnosis, some disease, some sickness, something incurable or is going to change your life forever. You don't have any option. You're going to have to go through something. Can I tell you that when God is for you, who could be against you? God has already fixed from eternity that this is going to turn for good. I don't know what it is that you could be going through. It might be really bad. You might have a friend or a family member that's going through some serious stuff. If God is for them, then there's no reason to fear because this is going to turn for good. I can't predict the ending of things. I'm not even going to try. But I can tell you that God has already predetermined from eternity that this is going to be glorious. It's easy to say that, you know, God's for you. You can't, don't be afraid. It's easy to say that when you're not in fear. Okay, but when fear is crushing in and you can't take breaths because anxiety is gripping, when you're in the midst of the night, some dark night of the soul, where somebody hurt you or somebody did something and you don't know what to do and you can't get out of it and there's nothing that people can do to help, there is only one place you can go. If you tag your partner, this will turn. So don't fear. I was stationed in South Korea from 1998 to 1999, and my wife, brand new wife, you know, we were only married 3 months when I went overseas, and she was not able to come with me. So it was it's called a remote tour. But midway through that time period, about 8 months in, I took some of my leave, and my wife flew out, and we met in Hawaii. And you know, we had a week in Hawaii, it was amazing. Well, one of my goals in life was to learn how to surf. Like, goal in life, to learn how to surf. And I had a friend that was stationed there who had some surfboards. And so I had talked to him, and he said he knew how to surf, and so he was going to take me out surfing. Well, this is the middle of winter on Oahu, and he took me to what's called the North Shore. And in the winter, on the North Shore of Oahu, are some of the biggest waves in the world. And he handed me a longboard, he showed me how to paddle, and then he went out surfing. And left me on the beach having to face the roar of the sea. And I had to choose, will I go for this? And I'm a gung-ho guy. I'm like, yeah, let's just do it, you know? Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, death. Death is the worst thing that could happen. So I got on this board, and I start paddling out. And I don't know. I didn't study the sea. I don't know. I don't know that waves only crash actually in certain places, and you actually can swim out around them. You don't have to go through them. So I'm swimming, boom, wave after wave. I'm getting tossed. By the time I finally get out far enough to catch a wave, I am absolutely completely exhausted. I mean, like I have been battling, getting swamped, I'm just trying to figure this thing out. I'm totally awkward. I'm obviously doing it wrong. You know, and I get out there and I'm totally gassed. Like I don't have any more energy. And so I'm just laying on the board, sucking air. The problem is that I am in the way of the big set of waves that are now bearing down on me. And I turn my head just in time to see the wave crest over me and wow, suck me in. And now I'm cartwheeling through the ocean. Ragdoll, you have no control. The ocean's big and powerful. There is no one, no human being that can stand against the power of the tide. It's not possible. This thing is tossing me. I am underwater this way and that, this way and that. And it was a big wave. And I don't know that waves will hold you. The tide will hold you. You can't fight against it. It holds you in place until it re-releases. And then the next wave comes. Well, so when I go under, I lose my breath. And now I'm under the water, it's tossing me, and I am panicking. And if you know anything about panic and exertion, it uses up your oxygen. And so I am panicking, and I am exerting, I'm trying to swim against the tide, it is holding me in place. I'm upside down, I'm this way, I'm that way, and then finally I feel it release, and I am able to get to the surface, and I go up to take a breath, just as the next one crashes over me and we start all over again. By the time I get back to the surface, I am able to crawl onto the edge of the board and I can see the next wave starting to crown. And I am kicking like crazy to turn the board to get it pointed towards the shore. Because I know if I can just get this thing pointed towards the shore, then I can just hold on. And that's exactly what happens. And it sends me, and I ride that wave all the way into the shore. I get to the sand, I roll off the board, and I lay there sucking air for 2 hours, you know? Professional surfers know that when you're in the midst of the torrent, and it's this way and that, they literally just go limp and enjoy the ride. They don't panic. They don't freak out. They do no exertion. And when they end up upside down and the wave lets them go, they open their eyes to see which way the leash is going. Because if the leash is going that direction, that way's up. If it's going that direction, then you are upside down and you need to swim the other way, right? And they open their eyes, they see the leash, they turn up, they grab the leash, they pull themselves up. Whoop, they're right up back to the surface and they're going again. Professional surfers know that. I didn't know that. When you experience the kind of torrent, the push, the pull, the back and forth, in the midst of it, if you exert yourself against the force, doesn't always help. There is really only one way out. That is to wait till the wave lets go, to open your eyes, to see which direction the surface is, to reach up, grab the leash, and to swim to the surface to get your breath. When it comes to spiritual things, there's only one direction that gets you out of pain. There's only one direction. It's towards the Lord. When you're tossing this way and that, anxiety creeps in, holds you. You don't know what to do. If you can trust that God's in your corner, then you can relax and enjoy the ride. Know that God's with you. How do you tag out? You got to find the surface. You got to point your life towards where God's at. Psalms 118, verse 7. Look at this. I'm going to read 6 and 7 back to back. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I'll look with satisfaction on those who hate me. God is so for you. But sometimes when you're getting tossed this way and that, it's really hard to see and it's really hard to trust where God's at. How do you find him? How do you orient yourself? Listen, surefire way to know where God's at is you look for the goodness. There's some weird stuff that I've heard people say. Because when we say God is good, God's good all the time, you know, and we go, cancer, not from God. Disease, not from God. Results of sin, results of the fall. There's some weirdness that begins to happen in people's belief systems, though, because now, pretty soon we're trying to deny the sickness, like as if you're not going through it. God's good. You know, yeah, I'm dying of cancer. Yeah, but God's good, brother. Okay? We work through the idea that God is good by attempting to figure out how God can be somewhere in the cancer. We try to figure out the brokenness that we're experiencing or the pain we're experiencing by trying to put God somewhere in the pain as if God's the one causing it. And so we use statements like this. Well, God must have known that you're strong enough. Right? To let you go through this. Obviously, God knew that you were a strong enough person. God knew that, you know, God must be trying to teach you something in the midst of this. You ever heard some of these statements? Yeah. We'll attempt to see God through everything, but we end up perverting because we're not looking for the right thing. Because we're not convinced, frankly, that he's good. Because if you knew his goodness, then you would know that he's not in the cancer. God's not sick. He can't give sickness to anybody. He's not demented. He's not trying to cause good by putting evil in your life. That's not God. That's not what it means. God is good all the time. His loving kindness is so fixated on you. His mercy is towards you. When it comes to the goodness of God, look at this. It says, the Lord is for me. Where is he? He is among those who are helping me. Where is God in the midst of your trouble? Is he in the trouble? No, he's with the people who are trying to help you. Where's God in the midst of your torment? He's with the people who are trying to help you. Where is God in your cancer treatment? He was with that nurse that was absolutely kind to you and loved on you. He was with you in the Bible verse that gave you hope. He was with you in the prayer of a friend. He was with you. He's with you in his goodness. Don't attempt to see God in the evil. That's not where he's at. Don't fixate your eye on the storm of the whirlwind when you're sucked under the wave. Look for the leash. Find out where the surface is. Where is God's goodness in your situation? Don't confuse it for the evil you're going through. God's not confused. You are. If you look for the good and you grab hold of the good, then your focus will be fixated on that which is good, and it will bring you right into a state of thanksgiving. And the gate to God's presence is thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. You know, this last week, I sought the Lord, and I was sitting in a chair that's in our room, and you know, it was like 2 a.m, hadn't been sleeping, was in pain. And I'm in that state. I'm being sucked down by the wave. That's what it feels like, right? I can't get my bearings. I'm like, God, I need you. I cry out to him. I'm pushing through that sort of swirl. I'm like, God, where are you? I'm searching for it, right? And where I have to end up focused on is where he has demonstrated his goodness in my life. And as soon as I key onto where God has demonstrated his goodness, I reach up in the midst of my swirling around and I grab hold of the leash. And now I know which direction the surface is. As soon as I focus on where God has demonstrated kindness and mercy and goodness towards me, as soon as I grab hold of that, the storm is over. Psalms 118, verse 20. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I'll give thanks to you, for you answer me, and you have become my salvation. This is the gate of the Lord, and the righteous enter through it. I will give thanks to you. What is the gate of the Lord? I will give thanks to you. How do you find God's gate? Thanksgiving. Psalms 100 says this: you enter his gate with thanksgiving and then on into his courts with praise. I'm trying to help you tonight, because when you're in the midst of the swirling, you may not be going through it now, but someday you will. When you're in the midst of it, how do you get out of it? How do you get out of it? You have to recognize his goodness, and then you start to give thanks for the demonstration of that goodness. It's that simple. How do you get out of your pain? You recognize where there was goodness in the midst of it. You grab hold of it, and you start to give thanks for it. As soon as you start to give thanks for God's demonstrated goodness in your situation, no matter how weird and strange it was, no matter how obscure it was, you're in relational torment, you're in a place where there's pain, you're in a place where things aren't going well, can you find somewhere in the midst of your journey where God demonstrated some goodness, something to be thankful for? Anything! Come on, when you're upside down underneath the water and you're sucking air and your body is screaming, you better get to the surface soon. You look for anything. As soon as you grab hold of God's goodness and you go, God, I don't know what's going on with the storm in my life, but thank you for bringing that person into my life. I don't know what's going on with the storm that's going on in my life, the pain that's going on in my life, a disease, a sickness, a relational conflict, whatever it is. I don't know what's going on with that. But thank you for your demonstrated kindness in this area of my life. As soon as you grab hold of it and you give thanks, boom, right into the gate of the Lord. Amen. The storm is over. Amen. This is how you break the storm. This is how you get out of your pain. It's through thanksgiving. As soon as you start to give thanks, it changes everything. Listen, God is for you. Who could be against you? The problem isn't that God's not for you, it's that you can't see it right now. And the reason you can't see it right now is because you're upside down in the middle of the ocean. You got to find the surface. You're disoriented. You need some direction. And this is where you find your direction. Find an area, identify an area where God has demonstrated kindness and goodness and start to give thanks. As soon as you do, the storm will break. Just stand to your feet tonight. Tressie, would you jump up on those keys there? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Come on, would you just, right now, close your eyes wherever you're at right now. I want you to focus right now on something of God's goodness in your life. An area that he has been kind. Listen, it might take a little bit of energy to break through. It's okay. He's still for you. You got Andre the Giant in your corner, okay? All you got to do is tap out. This is how you do it, though. You have to grab hold. You got to reach out. You got to enter into his gate. Lord, right now, we say thank you. Come on, would you just begin right now, just to say thank you. Give thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. Come on, just begin to lift your voice. Say thank you to him. I don't understand the storm. I'm a little disoriented right now. But I'm reaching through the veil for your loving kindness has been faithful. And your mercy has been true. And there's no other person I can turn to. I'm reaching out towards you. Spirit, would you just encounter people's lives right now? God, I'm asking that the storms would break. I'm asking, God, that the lifeline would be released right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I say thank you, Jesus. I say thank you, Jesus. I say thank you, Jesus. Your mercies are new every morning. Your mercies are new every morning. Your love is true every day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, what are you thankful for? Seriously. Even if you're visiting tonight, come on. I'm telling you, there is an encounter of God in the midst of this tonight. Think about it. What is it that you're thankful for? What has God done? Be specific with Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for reaching right into my despair, Jesus, and delivering me of it. Thank you, Jesus, for reaching right into my pain. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking in the midst of the darkness, for bringing light into my circumstance. Holy Spirit, come. For I don't know what you're going through, but I know that He's the answer. I don't know what you're facing, but I know that He's the answer. It's time to get Him in the ring. It's time to get Him in the ring. This is how you do it. Enter His gate with thanksgiving and then into His court with praise. Begin to give thanks to Him and you'll come right into His presence. You can't come before your Father without His loving kindness embracing you and loving you and meeting you right where you're at. There are some tonight you've been far away from Jesus. You haven't been walking with Jesus. You'd say to me, Pastor Jamie, I don't know. I haven't been hearing God's voice. I've been doing my own thing. I've just been living my life the way I want to. But tonight I'm turning my heart back towards Him. I'm coming back. I'm surrendering my life tonight. You want to come back fully into Jesus. You want to surrender your life again. You're needing forgiveness, and He's extending it towards you. You've been in a place of torment, but the Lord is offering you deliverance out of it. You've made some bad choices, but Jesus is offering you mercy tonight. If that's you tonight, and you want to make Jesus the merciful one, you're wanting to come to Him tonight and receive His mercy, if that is you tonight, would you just lift your hand where you're at? I'm not asking you to embarrass yourself. Yes, I see you. Yes, I see you. All over the room. You're coming back to Jesus tonight. You're surrendering fully to Him. Maybe you've never known Jesus before, but you want to receive Him tonight. Tonight is the night. Don't walk out of here tonight without knowing Him. He's so worth it. He'll meet you right where you're at. He'll love you right where you're at. He'll walk you through your stuff. If you want to receive Jesus tonight, I'm going to invite every voice, every person in the room tonight. I want everybody to pray along with me. But if you are receiving Jesus or you're coming back to Him, I want your voice to ring out. Come on, pray with all your heart because God's going to meet you in this place tonight. Pray along with me, church, every voice. Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus, that He died on the cross for me in my place. And I receive His death as payment for my sin. Please forgive me, Jesus. Please wash me, Jesus. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I surrender to you. I give you my life. The Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Would you seal every heart? We release mercy over them afresh right now. The mercy of the Lord be over you. We don't retain your sin. We break off every form of iniquity. We release mercy over you tonight. Be free. Holy Spirit, come and seal hearts right now. Do what only you can do, Jesus. Meet them in this place. Meet them in this moment, Jesus. Deliver them out of their trouble, Jesus. Set them in a broad place, Lord. Set them over, Lord, their enemy, Lord, that's come against them. Put them, Lord God, in a high place that your name, Lord, might be their strong tower tonight as they've called upon you, Jesus. Bring deliverance to them, Jesus. Lord, I release mercy. Lord, over those who are facing criminal charges, I release mercy. Over those who are stuck, you got major debt, you don't know how to get out of it, you're drowning in it. You, as soon as I started speaking about it, you started thinking about that. There's a word of the Lord over you right now. The Lord is breaking the power and the grip of debt over your life. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of debt. We speak right now over debt. We break its power. The prosperity of the kingdom of heaven be upon your life in Jesus' name. Ideas, blessing, inheritance. Lord, we call in the blessing of the Lord on those lives who have been under the weight of debt. We break the power of it tonight in Jesus' name. It's a brand new day. It's a brand new day. Sickness is gone. Disease is gone. It cannot stand in the presence of the Lord. Have no fear. He's so for you. Do not be afraid. God is on your side. He's going to walk you right through this. Grab hold of the lifeline. Give thanks to him. Enter his gate. God, we thank you tonight. Lord, I give you thanks for what you're doing, what you have done, God, what you're going to do. Lord, with these folks, Lord, who have heard these words. Once again, Jesus, come and have your way. Come and have your way, Lord. Father, I thank you for these things. I pray them in the mighty name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he be so gracious to you that his countenance would be towards you and you grant you peace. We decree these things in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who came into agreement with that said, amen. Amen. Come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord tonight?